but not normally doing this this job. I don't know if you go online to check spellings. It's always a bit irritating if you go online and check a spelling and it comes up with the Webster's Dictionary, because Webster did something very annoying. He decided, he's American, by the way, not that those two go together, obviously, but he's, he decided that the English language was a bit too complex, so he decided to change things, like he removed the letter U from things like colour, because he thought it was just superfluous to requirements. But generally speaking, the American language hasn't changed since the Pilgrim Fathers many years ago. And so they use lots of old terms like attorney and plaintiff and homicide and those sort of words, and sheriff, things that we don't normally use in British English. And one of those words that has changed is vacation. Years ago, about 100 years ago, it was very popular, if you were wealthy, to have a home, and then you went on vacation to your holiday home that you owned. So you had two homes. Now, of course, many people now can't afford one home, let alone two homes, but that was very popular 100 years ago, and gradually, over time, more and more people couldn't afford two homes. So it was thought vacation wasn't a very good word to use, so we just adopted the word holiday, which in America only means holy days, so Christmas and Easter. So that's a long introduction, but it's some of you might find it interesting. But I'm speaking about holidays because it's the school holidays. Yes. Is anybody excited? One more week? What, a whole week? What? You work in a state school, don't you? If you were not worked in a private school, you'd have been on holiday weeks ago. So is anybody excited about the school holidays? Oh, gosh, quite a few. Anybody not excited about the school holidays? You'd amazing hair. Who couldn't care less? Yeah, right. I've got a question from you. We talked about America. This is a question from an American that says, if British people call vacations holidays, how do they know the difference when they're speaking? So in America, we would say, as it's the holidays, school's out, so we're going on vacation. Do British people say, as it's the holiday, it's the school holidays, so we're going on holiday? Well, yes, yeah, that's the... So this evening, when I talk about holidays, I actually mean vacations. So vacating a place, and that could be for a long period of time, so actually going away somewhere, or it could be just a few days or just a few hours. Taking a break, I'm going to cover the whole thing about taking a break from the regular routine. So often it does mean going on an adventure with our family, but as I said, it could mean just taking a break. So this morning, I heard that somebody's going to have a six-week holiday in Australia. Nice for them. But for many people, it's not possible. We're very fortunate that we have so many places around us that we can go free of charge. And I think M Magazine is going to be published next week. So, and in here, it's got all kinds of places you can go completely free of charge, which you may know about already. But obviously, there's things like the South Downs, the Pier, High Down Gardens... And it hasn't got my favourite, which is the Sistine Chapel up the road here, which if you've never been to, is fantastic. So whether it's a holiday or a staycation, why do we take a break from the regular routine? Well, in the Bible, it tells us why it's good to take a break, and I'm going to run through a few of those this evening. Just to mention that Jesus took a break a huge number of times. I was making a list, but I got a bit sort of fed up after a while, because he's often taking a break, whether it's for 40 days in the wilderness. If he's choosing his disciples, he takes a break. Sometimes he just goes by himself. Sometimes he goes with his disciples and his friends. So we take a break, first and foremost, for rest and refreshment. God wants us to take care of ourselves and enjoy restful times. Just as God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, he knows we need rest too. And holidays gives us an opportunity to relax, have fun, recharge our bodies and minds. And whether we take a break for a short time or a long time, we can feel recharged and take on new challenges. Many people actually take a break before they start a new challenge. And that new challenge could be starting a new school or going up a new year in a class or starting a new job or applying for a job or preparing for retirement or moving house or whatever it may be. We take a break so that we can come back feeling refreshed and ready to take on new challenges. The other one is appreciating God's creation. When we go on holiday, we can often see new places and experience new things. And whether we visit the hills or the beach or somewhere else, we can marvel at God's creation. The Bible tells us in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." So when we explore new places, we are reminded of how amazing God is. Later in that psalm, it says, "In the heavens, God has pitched a tent in the sun." So it sounds like God likes camping holidays. How about spending time with family and friends? Holidays are a fantastic opportunity to strengthen the bonds we have with each other. For many people, we either spend our holidays with members of our family or our friends. And in the Bible, it reminds us, it's a bit of a challenge for some families, I know, it says this in Proverbs 17, "Friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble." My wife remembers her family holidays, and every lunchtime, it was exactly the same. You're in the car, it's pouring with rain, you're having soggy sandwiches, and you're supposed to bond with other people in your family. So it doesn't always work like that. And of course, the larger your family, the more difficult it sometimes is, because some people want to do a beach holiday, some people want to do walking, some people want to go to museums, and trying to please everybody can be quite difficult. Why not try something different on holiday? You may experience something that you've never done before. However, if somebody says adventure caving, just decline. And gratitude and thankfulness. When we take a holiday, it's the perfect time to reflect on all the blessings God has given us. We can be grateful for our family and friends. It's an opportunity to explore new places. So let's take a moment to thank God for all the good things in our lives and give thanks, especially for his beautiful creation. In Psalm 33, it says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord. It is fitting to praise him. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." It is really great to go on holiday and experience new things, although sometimes, of course, people don't appreciate it. I went to Mallorca, and for some reason, even though it was August, it was a bit of a dull day and it started to rain. So we looked around some of the historic buildings, and there was a person in front of me who said, "I didn't come to Mallorca to go round some castle." So we have to appreciate a lot more than sometimes our holiday can experience for us. But there is a problem. And the problem is this: we don't do it. For a lot of us, we take our laptop on holiday, we take our phone on holiday, and there are some good reasons why we do that, because nowadays your phone is your torch, your encyclopedia, it's got your tickets on it, and you can't go without it. I had to switch my phone off at a minute before six, and I felt really bad. I felt awkward. Oh no, what happens if somebody wants to contact me? I have a terrible habit that I've just got into, is just before I go to bed, I decide that I need to look up something. And I'm not quite sure why it is. Last night, I needed to look up what happens when there's a train strike and a tube strike, which one will affect the Elizabeth line. I don't know why I looked that up, and I now can't remember which one it is, so I'll probably have to look it up again. But we just need to find facts, don't we, sometimes? And To make matters worse, of course, if we're on holiday, we're not getting paid for it. We actually think the world at work will not be able to cope without us unless we check in sometimes. I've got a question for you. Agatha Christie had a holiday home in Devon called Greenway. I visited it when I was on holiday in Devon. It's got 36 acres, which is 15 hectares, of land, and it was bought for £6,000. Which is only still £410,000 in today's money. It's now owned by the National Trust, and as I went there, I thought, this is just a great place to write a book. I was sitting down, see the house on one side, there's a river at the bottom, and you can catch a river boat down the river in Devon. It's fantastic. I could just imagine writing books there. So the question I have for you is, how many novels did Agatha Christie write at Greenway? Does anybody know the answer or has a guess? All of them? That's none? Well, that's a pretty wide spectrum, isn't it? Yeah, the answer is none of them. She was on holiday, so she didn't write books on holiday. She wrote them when she was back at work. I suppose I have this sort of romantic idea of writing books as in just relaxing and not really doing a proper job, but of course, it really is. So my next question is, why do so many people find it difficult to take a break? Why don't you just chat to the person next to you just for a few moments and just see if you can answer that question. Why do so many people find it difficult to take a break? Has anybody got any ideas why this might be the case? Now's the time to speak up. Because if not, I've got some more difficult questions for you. And here they are. So you don't have to answer all of these questions, but here's a few things for you to think about and chat to the person next to you and see if you can answer these questions. It's basically advice for someone who has these difficulties. For example, takes their laptop on holiday to catch up on work, or checks social media every hour because of the fear of missing out, or somebody who finds holidays stressful and actually looks forward to coming back to work for a break. What about someone who feels exhausted most of the time but can't actually afford a holiday? What about you're with a family that doesn't know what to do when it rains? Or has a family that doesn't actually get on with one another? Or what about you're in a group of people on holiday and they all like to do things differently? Or perhaps you're a spontaneous person, but you're with a person that is always organised and has a daily holiday itinerary that you have to obey. As I said, you don't have to answer all of those questions, but see if there's one or two that you can answer. So how would you advise someone that takes their laptop on holiday, checks social media all the time, finds holidays stressful, feels exhausted but can't afford a holiday, has difficult family problems like they don't really get on or don't know what to do when it rains, are people that they like doing different things or spontaneous and organised? Of course, some people do have to work sometimes, they would say. I would suggest, and I don't know him very well, but he's in charge of Southern Water. He earns £1.5 million. I think he should take his laptop on holiday because I think he should be able to be contacted 24/7. But most of us are not in that category. But there were some people at Breakfast Church say they run their own business, and they're a bit concerned that they are the only person. So without them being contactable, they're concerned about their business. And of course, what you need to do is actually to set boundaries. You can set boundaries when you go on holiday. So if you really do desperately need to look at your emails, well, just do it twice, for 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening. Also, get a detailed out-of-office email. Which says, I am not in the office, please contact this person. There's a famous problem with that. I don't know whether you've been to Wales, and there's a car park which says, this car park is only open between Monday to Friday, 9 till 6. And then it's got it in Welsh, because it's in Wales. Unfortunately, the Welsh translation is, unfortunately, I'm out of the office at the moment. If you need a translation, please contact me on Monday. Do you remember this story? It was a couple of months ago, but Holly Willoughby decided to go on holiday right in the middle of an ITV crisis. And she stopped all her social media posts. So she was with her, that's her mum in the background there, and with her husband and her children, and nobody knew for 2 weeks what Holly Willoughby was thinking. How did you cope? Did you cope okay, Steve? I was a bit concerned about you. You coped right, good, that's fine. I mean, I tried to cope. Look, if Holly Willoughby can stop social media, because she's relentless on social media, for 2 whole weeks, surely we can do that. we'll pause for a few moments while people explain to Steve who Holly Willoughby is. She's currently famous. In Matthew chapter 11, it says in verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This is what Jesus says. And these words reflect the profound compassion and understanding that Jesus had for the struggles and hardships that we face in our lives. He knew that the weight of the world can often leave us feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, burdened with worries, anxieties, and responsibilities. And Jesus extends his invitation to all who are weary and burdened. And it is a universal call, encompassing people from all walks of life. So it doesn't matter who we are, where we come from, how old we are, how young we are, or what circumstances we may be in, Jesus welcomes us with open arms, offering us a place of refuge and comfort. And when Jesus promises to give us rest, it's important to understand that it's not just physical rest he's referring to. Yes, as we've discussed, our bodies do need rest, but he also offers rest for our souls and minds. And it is a deep and profound rest that can only be found in a relationship with him. It's a rest that brings peace, healing, and restoration to our weary souls. Furthermore, Jesus doesn't just sympathize with our weariness and burdens. He offers us a solution. He doesn't leave us to figure out on our own or rely solely on our own strength. He invites us to come to him to bring our worries, our pain, our fear, and struggles to him. He stands ready to shoulder our burdens, to provide us with the strength and guidance we need to face life's challenges. And the promise of rest that Jesus offers is not a temporary fix or a momentary relief. It is an enduring rest that transcends our circumstances. It's a rest that comes from knowing that we are loved and cared for by the Creator of the universe, who has the power to bring peace to our hearts and minds. And there's something quite serious about this, because in Matthew 11, and he's actually quoting from Jeremiah 6, these are passages in the Bible that are incredibly difficult to read, because what Jesus is saying about holidays and rest isn't just a nice idea. It is actually a command that we must follow or face the consequences. There is studies going on at the moment. I don't know whether they've concluded, but there are too many people that don't take a rest and are suffering as a result, both physically and mentally. So we do need to take a rest, and it is very serious if we don't, and the consequences on our bodies, our minds, and our souls can be profound. So this evening, I want to encourage you to take up Jesus on his invitation. Perhaps you are wearied, burdened, in need of rest. What you need to do is to open your heart to his love and surrender your worries and fears and allow him to give you the rest that your soul really longs for. For in Jesus we find true rest, peace, and restoration. So what I'm going to do in a moment is just conclude, and then when I've finished and prayed, we're just going to spend a few moments in quiet before we start singing again, just so that we can do that. Because holidays are a special time when we can rest, enjoy God's creation, spend time with our loved ones, and express our gratitude to Him. And going on a holiday or taking a break, it's not just about having fun. It is about experiencing God's love and goodness in a unique way. And it is also remembering that Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Even if it is just a short time, a little break can be very special. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us holidays as a special time to rest, explore, and be with those people we love. Help us to appreciate the beauty of your creation and to show love and gratitude during our holidays. And we pray that when we feel weary, burdened, anxious, we won't try and struggle on our own. We will actually take a break, come to you, ask for your assistance. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.